So one of our books, our Bibles, the only book that matters, Acts chapter 10. As we finish chapter 10 today, starting in verse 9, I want to read a little bit of this before we pray. It says, the next day as they went on their journey, they drew near the city, and Peter went up on a housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven opened and an object like a sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But he said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Let's pray. Father, set us free this morning of religious tradition. I don't know where everyone's coming from in this room today, Lord, but I know that all of us, if we have any kind of background in religion, whether it be denominational or non-denominational, or simply just some belief that we may have had, Lord, we probably have gotten caught up into culture. We've gotten caught up into religious tradition, maybe what our group taught rather than what the Bible taught. And Lord, some of it may not have been bad. It may have been okay religious tradition. But the problem is, Lord, we know this. Unless it lines up with your word, it's going to put us in bondage and keep us from being everything you want us to be and reaching those that need to hear the gospel. So I pray, Lord, that as we look at the freedom you gave Peter, the work you did in Peter today, and the work you did in the life of the early church, Lord, that you would do that same work today. God, set us free individually when it comes to religious tradition as compared to your word. And God, set us free as a church, not just Calvary Chapel, but all the churches in Knoxville and the churches around this nation and around the world, so that in these last days that I am convinced we are living in, Lord, we might be a powerful witness to you the way the early church was 2,000 years ago. So Father, anoint this message, anoint the teaching of your word, minister to your flock, and set the captive free today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, last week we began looking at tearing down the walls of religious tradition. And we talked about the rich religious tradition history that the Jews had and what Peter was facing. And we also talked about the fact that not all religious tradition is bad. It's just the religious tradition that binds us when it comes to being free in the Lord and free to really live the word out the way the word says it. Because the problem is, whenever we get caught up into our traditions, especially when it comes to seeking God or things of the Spirit, then what happens is oftentimes we start believing what our group teaches, sometimes more than what the Bible teaches. And by the way, our group may be teaching something correct, but if our group is teaching something that is putting a wall up from reaching other people and something that God has not put a wall up in, guys, we've got to tear the walls down. And Peter had walls up. Thousands of years of Jewish tradition, thousands of years of staying away from Gentiles, that is non-Jews, thousands of years of not going in their homes, not letting them in your home, not eating with them, not having any kind of relationship with them. And now God is taking Peter to a new place saying, not only do I love them and have saved them, I want you to hang out with them. So you've got to take your old religious tradition, your old viewpoint of we don't do this at our church, Peter, and you've got to throw it out the window. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that we as the church are to be open to everything that comes down the pike. Are you guys with me? There are a lot of things coming into the church today and have come into the church throughout history, and no doubt will come into the church tomorrow that we have to reject wholesale. Why? Because it goes against the word of God, and that's where discernment comes in, understanding the word and teaching the word and addressing that at the time. But there are a lot of things in the church today, like we talked about last week, that put us in bondage, such as the type of music that's played or what type of clothes you wear. The Bible talks nothing about these things. And yet some of you, if you weren't here last week, maybe have such a strong opinion about it. The fact that I mentioned that it didn't matter made you bristle.
What do you mean the music doesn't matter? Well, what do you mean what you wear doesn't matter?
It doesn't. Not according to God's word, but according to our culture, according to religious tradition. According to what we've developed, it matters greatly. The walls have to come down, gang. They've got to be destroyed. If God's going to set us free and use us in these days in which we live, and if God's going to use the church in the days in which we live, he's got to do the same thing he did in Peter, and we're going to see through Peter as we move on through Acts, the same thing he did in the early church. He set them free. Now, I want to say this as well. When it comes to tradition or unbiblical traditions, or maybe ones that might even be biblical but put us in bondage, it doesn't happen overnight. Typically, you start being set free and God will begin to introduce things to you and begin to work in your heart with the Holy Spirit. And it takes a long time. When we see Peter set free over these few days, don't think that Peter suddenly heard the Lord and just repented. Although Peter did get a vision, I think that if I got a vision, that would be a pretty strong influence for me in letting go of some of my past. So Peter did have a little bit more help than most of us do, to say it lightly. But the bottom line is, you've got to remember, Peter has now been walking with the Lord some 5 to 10 years. We don't know the exact timetable, but he spent 3 years after salvation with Jesus Christ on the earth. The Lord is now resurrected, and we're some years down the road in the early church. And Peter is still bound up in religion. Now, why do I say that? Because I found that even years after walking with the Lord, I was still bound up in certain religious traditions that I couldn't find in the Bible. And it wasn't until people began to challenge me and say, Mark, that's not in the Bible. Why are you taking that stance? I told you mine was the big thing against rock music. I came out of the rock music background. I was, you know, a heavy metal guy when I was younger. And so for me, anything heavy metal, because I used it demonically, because I was into the demonic side of it, because I was into the side with the bad lyrics and the bad feel and the bad spirit, I just assumed that meant that every rock music was evil, right? So I came to the Lord, and the struggle I had when I first came to the Lord is I would go, that's not right, but wow, that's a good beat. You know, and I still had that struggle, you know, well, listen to that double drum and that rip on that guitar. Oh, yeah, you know, what? Stop, Mark, repent, you know. And God began to say to me, there's nothing wrong in a double drum and a screaming guitar solo. There's nothing wrong in that. It's how you were using it, Mark. It's what you did with it. You weren't glorifying me. You were glorifying yourself and the world, and you're involved in the things of the world. So you confused the fact of music, saying music was bad. I never said music was bad. I don't mention music in Scripture other than use it to worship me. All I said was, is make sure you're walking holy. Make sure it's pure. Make sure it's under the Lord. It took me years after that. So to see that it took even Peter years after coming to the Lord to be set free, my point is this. Some of you guys are not going to be set free right away. It's going to take you a while to go through change where God's going to work in you. But here's my heart for you. As we started last week, and as we're finishing on this week, let God challenge you. Don't be afraid of God changing your opinions if it lines up with God's word, or if you can't find a prohibition in God's word. I love to watch the Billy Graham Crusades because they take the new generation and their new music, and they still, you know, allow the kids to get reached that way. I guarantee you, back when Billy Graham was still sitting up on the pedestal and was still giving the message, he probably wasn't jamming out with them. And he probably didn't go home in his car listening to the same stuff they just had. But his heart was open enough to say, God, you reach this generation. If this is where they are and this is honoring you and it's nothing evil, then let them worship how they want. Let them seek you how they want. But some people are just very, very afraid of change because they're afraid if they allow any change in their life, it's going to be massively destruction. A lot like Martin Van Buren, the governor of New York, who wrote this letter to President Jackson, dated January 31st, 1829. Listen to what he said. As you may know, Mr. President, railroad carriages are pulled at the enormous speed of 15 miles per hour by engines, which, in addition to endangering life, limb, and passengers, roar and snort their way through the countryside, setting fire to crops, scaring the livestock, and frightening women and children. The Almighty certainly never intended that people should travel at such breakneck speed. Some of you guys in here on the way to church would have given this guy a heart attack, I can tell you that. Some actually like change. Like this man I read about for the first time went to a large city. He'd never been in a big city. He stood outside the elevator and he watched this old, haggard woman hobble in and the doors close. And a few minutes later, the doors opened and this beautiful, young, attractive woman marched off. And the man with wide eyes yelled to his son, "Hurry, Billy, get your mother." It was a second wave to that one. Yet most of us, really, guys, honestly, we will not accept change unless it's forced upon us. Honestly, unless it is forced upon you, many of you won't change. Isaac Newton said this. He said, "Everything continues in a state of rest unless it is compelled to change by forces impressed upon it." Peter today is going to be compelled to change by forces impressed upon him, and that is the Holy Spirit, the power of a vision, the power of the Lord saying, Peter, stop with the religious stuff. Stop alienating other people from other groups. Stop pushing people away. Open your heart. Open your doors. Bring people in. Stay true to the word. Don't compromise. Don't sin. That's not what I'm saying. But don't let your man-made religious tradition stop you from reaching the next generation or reaching those around you because you're afraid of them. Again, like I said last week, because they have a black coat and a dog collar on. They need Jesus. And they have the same desire to be loved as everybody in this room today. We've got to say, you know what? They're just like we are. They're lost. They need the Lord. Don't be afraid of them. Love them and share the Lord with them. Peter had to learn this before God could use him. Now, remember last week what had happened. God gave Cornelius the vision up in Caesarea. An angel came and said, go down there and get a man named Peter. Bring Peter back up or he's going to share something with you. Cornelius sent three of his servants, a soldier, and two others of his household down to get Peter and bring him back. They found Peter. And while they're going to get Peter, God gives Peter a vision. And Peter sees this sheet lowered down. That's where we start right now. So God is working on both ends, preparing them up where Cornelius is and now preparing Peter and where he is. And notice verse 9, the next day as they went on their journey and they drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now, that was very normal back then to do things up on the housetop. They had flat roofs. As a matter of fact, they still have flat roofs in Israel today, and they still do things on their rooftops. They have, you know, use it as an extra patio. So Peter goes up there to pray and to seek the Lord. And it's interesting to me again, even as God spoke to Cornelius in his normal prayer time, God now speaks to Peter in his. Again, do we see a pattern, guys? Don't neglect your time in the Lord because that's when you're going to hear the voice of God. Peter did, and we need to as well. And then he became very hungry and he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Now, I love this. He smells the food downstairs. Notice they're making ready. It's lunchtime because at the sixth hour here, this is when was lunchtime. They use a different clock here. And so it was one of the prayer times of the Jews. And so he's up there praying. He smells the food. He's getting hungry. And what I love about this, when God sends this trance, it's as if this thing is really happening. The word gives a picture of stepping outside of your body and watching something really happen. So it wasn't just like, I have this feeling, I have this thought. No, he's watching this happen. He looks and he sees this sheet let down from heaven. And it's bound at the corners, coming down, and it's going to be filled, as we're going to see, with all these four-footed animals and all these things. Notice verse 11, I saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now stop there a minute. Imagine what's going on in Peter's mind. Peter, to the Jewish mindset, you did not eat certain animals. Even today, they will not eat certain animals. Not even when pigs fly will they eat pork. I mean, they will not eat certain animals. And I don't mean to be flippant about that. They just won't. And while I agree that probably certain foods are better, you know, you could be healthier if you didn't eat certain foods, we're going to see that God says that all foods are cleansed and all foods are okay, but he's doing a much greater message. It's not really the food as the primary message here, it's the Gentiles. He's going to make this comparison to the ones they thought were unclean and these Gentiles. Now, Peter doesn't know that yet, but he's being challenged at a level. He's hungry, and I love this. God meets Peter right where he is. Peter's hungry, so God gives him a vision about food. Isn't our God great? You know, I love the fact that God meets us where we are, because some of you guys, you know, God's going to meet you right where you are, and probably today. If you're stuck in religious tradition, God is meeting you right where you are and speaking to you. Be open to his voice. Follow the leading of the Spirit. But I love this because, again, the Lord comes to him, you know, and says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. This would be shocking to Peter. Never, ever did they eat anything that was common or considered unclean. This would go against everything with thousands of years of tradition and all that was taught Peter growing up. And what makes this even tougher is he says to him, it's in the aorist imperative, which in the language means this, I command you. It's a command form. I command you to do this and I command you to do it now. See, Peter, you've had long enough to get over this religious stuff. You've been walking with the Lord many years. I'm commanding you right now because I'm sending some Gentiles to you. You need to be free today. You need to go back tomorrow and share with other Gentiles and Cornelius in the couple days that it takes you to travel up to Caesarea. Now, some of you aren't there. Some of you are just now hearing this, and God is beginning to work in your heart to set you free of religious tradition. But some of you God's been working on for years, and maybe for the first time today you're saying, okay, I guess the music doesn't matter. Okay, I guess the clothing doesn't matter. Okay, I guess our church tradition, whatever it was when I was raised in, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe all that matters is Jesus and loving people and staying within the boundaries of the Word of God. I've got it. God is saying to you today, be set free now. Don't fight it any longer. Be free. Again, this is not a freedom to sin. This is not throwing away the boundaries of Scripture. It is simply staying within those confines and allowing God to use you the way that He wants to use you. And some of you, you know, He says, Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He may have said something, you know, rise, Mark, clap and raise your hands. Not so, Lord. Look at this next thing. Look what Peter says. Not so, Lord. For I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And guys, I can imagine this is something where all of us would react this way. If God were to challenge us this morning on something that we've never done and we made up our mind we would never do, what if God says to us, I want you to do this? What if we hear the voice of the Lord this morning saying that? What are we going to say? Notice Peter says something that you really can't honestly say as a Christian. What does the word Lord mean? Not just Jesus, it means master. The one who rules my life. Let me put it another way. The one who makes the rules. Not so the one who makes the rules. What? Not so the one who makes the rules. Oh yeah, that doesn't even sound right, does it, Lord? You're telling me to do it and you're commanding me to do it, but Lord, I have a good excuse. I've never done this and it makes me feel weird. God's not going to make you do something that makes you feel weird. You know, I use the example of rise, mark, praise, and sing. Raise your hands, clap. You don't have to clap. You don't have to raise your hands. And sometimes I get afraid saying that because I think in the service, they're probably thinking, he's watching me. He's watching to see if I'm going to clap. Ain't going to do it. You know, I'm not watching you. I don't care if you clap. I don't care if you raise your hands. Here's all I care about. I care that you would be free to do so if you wanted. That's all I care about. I don't want you to be bound up because in your church, they never did that. You know, the way you were taught, that was wrong. And I don't want you to be bound up. You worship God the way God tells you to worship. You do however you serve God. You serve Him the way He's called you to worship. But I want you to be free. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom, both of them. You said them both. The word's liberty, it means freedom. Same thing, so you're both right. There's liberty. Guys, so we walk in the Lord. You know, the Bible doesn't say come to the Lord and get bound up. Have a bunch of rules. Get real stuffy, you know. That says be free. God's given us a big playground. We can enjoy it. And at the same time, we know we're not to draw attention to ourselves and we're not to do all these things. But Peter here again, God is just saying, you need to be free, Peter. And he's like, not so, Lord. You know, I can't do that. But notice what the Lord says in verse 15. Speaks to him again. And the Lord spoke to him a second time. This is, you got to get this, Peter. I'm speaking twice now. What God has cleansed. That is, i.e., the food and dietary laws, which, by the way, we're no longer under. You're free to eat whatever. But he's speaking also about the Gentiles, and he's getting this point across to Peter, which, again, he still doesn't get yet. What God has cleansed, you must not call common, or that was a word for the Jew to mean unclean. Notice, you must not. Stop it. You can't do that. Stop doing this. The language literally means stop doing this. That's what it means. In a firm form. And so, again, the Lord speaks twice here to confirm it. That he means it. And God uses oftentimes a further confirmation to let us know it's him. He did it with Solomon with two dreams, two visions. He did it with Joseph with his multiple dreams. And God does confirm things, which, by the way, if you feel like you've heard the Lord, let God confirm it. I see a lot of believers make big mistakes because they think they've heard God and they're convinced they've heard God. And I know this is God. Well, do you really? Maybe you really believe it is, but let God confirm it before you step forward. Especially when it's a major life decision. Let God confirm it. God can do that. And God did confirm it here for Peter and told him a second time, you know what? You need to do this. And so I'm confirming it to nail this down. So Peter he's pretty much cornered. And by the way, it's amazing how strong religious tradition can be to think that it took a vision to set Peter free. Some of you guys may be so bound up, it might take a vision to set you free. It did for Peter. And notice this was done, verse 16, three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Why three times? I believe to confirm to Peter of these three Gentiles that were coming that they were not unclean. Because Peter's about to hear of these three Gentiles down at his door knocking that were sent from Cornelius, and God's going to say, go with them. They're okay. They're clean. You're not defiling yourself. This is religious tradition. Be free, Peter. Let it go. Now, it's interesting to me, and you know me, I'm always searching the words and to find out the word meanings. And there was one that really kind of was curious to me when I read it, because when it talks about the sheep being led down from heaven, bound at the four corners, the word it uses there speaks of a surgical strap, a surgical tie, something you use in the operating room. And I'm going, why in the world would you lower it down from heaven with surgical straps? Something you use in the operating room. Well, aside from the fact that Luke was a doctor and Luke wrote the book of Acts, I find that interesting. Of course, that's in there. I believe it's because God was not only saying to Peter, and God is saying to us today, I need to do surgery in your life to get rid of the religious tradition. If your religious tradition has bound you up, I've got to come do surgery. And when I take out the spiritual scalpel and begin to cut, for some of you this morning, it's going to be painful. There may already be some here. Maybe somebody invited you today. And you come from a real religious background, you're thinking, I cannot wait until this guy's done. I will never come back, right? Maybe some of you are in that place. Listen, be open to the Holy Spirit. Be open to God. Peter, no doubt, was going, not so, Lord, not so. Peter, listen to me. It is my spirit. I want to bring you to a new place. I want to grow you. I want to mature you. I want to set you free. I want to use you in greater areas. I want to do surgery, spiritual surgery in your life, Peter. Let me do it. And so notice Peter still doesn't get it. Look at verse 17. While Peter wondered within himself what this vision was, which he had seen and what it meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So Peter still doesn't get what it is while God is revealing what's going on. Amazing. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname Peter, was lodging there. So, hey, is a guy named Simon Peter here? And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, so God speaks again, behold, three men are seeking you. Notice three. Even as the sheet was lowered three times, he's like, oh, I'm seeing a connection, Lord. Unclean, three. Here they are, Gentiles. I'm supposed to take this and accept it. He says, arise, therefore, go down and go with them. Note this, I have it underlined, doubting nothing. For I have sent them. I'm doing this, Peter. I'm doing this. Trust me. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, well, Cornelius the centurion, notice how they describe him here, a just man. One who fears God and has a good reputation. And I underline this because probably they were concerned about them being Gentiles coming to a Jew. Notice they said the third thing, among all the nation of the Jews, he has a good reputation. So we like the Jews. We're with you, you know. Don't turn against us. He was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Wow, now Peter's got a decision to make. What do you mean, summon to his house? These are Gentiles. We don't go in with Gentiles. And now this Gentile has come seeking me and says that an angel sent him. And I just had this vision up here on the rooftop telling God telling me to rise, kill, and eat these things that are unclean. Something is happening. Now, Lord, you've told me to go with these men, doubting nothing. And Peter has this decision to make. What am I going to do with my religious tradition? Am I going to stand firm or am I going to turn away? You know, I jokingly last week went, tradition, for those of you that have seen Rip Tevye, you know, and that whole thing. A Fiddler on the Roof. It was on TV last week. I think somewhere it's probably on forever. I don't know. But anyway, it was on TV last week. I saw it again. I didn't watch it, but I just saw the one part where Rep Tevye had rejected his daughter because she had married outside of the Jewish line. She had married a German, and he was completely rejecting her. And she's standing there begging him, saying, Father, talk to me. And he's going back and forth in his mind, having that conversation that he has with God. Do I desert my tradition? Or do I, you know, turn to my daughter whom I love? Do I desert my tradition or turn to my daughter whom I love? And he ends up turning from his daughter and grabbing the cart and wheeling down. And that exactly describes how strong this is in the Jewish heart. It exactly describes what Peter's doing. And Peter's standing here with that cart and the daughter. And they're saying, Cornelius wants you to come. And he's going, do I desert my tradition? But I just had this vision and I just had God tell me. And God said, don't doubt. And these guys are here. And Peter makes the right decision. Look at verse 23. Then Peter invited them in, again, a Gentile, into where he was staying. Awesome, Peter. And he lodged them. And the next day, Peter went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So Peter gets up the next morning, and we'll find out later on next week, there's six men that went with him as he travels to go back to Joppa. And notice the following day, they entered Caesarea. So they get there, again, after a couple days, a two-day journey to Caesarea. And Cornelius was waiting for them and called together his relatives and his close friends. Now, I love Cornelius. Notice this. He says, if we're going to hear the gospel, I'm going to make sure my friends and family hear it too. Isn't that great? And guys, really, that's really a picture of you guys saying, I'm going to invite them to church. I'm going to invite my family to church. I'm going to invite my friends to church. Maybe it's an event. I'm going to invite them. I want them to hear it. And let me encourage you in this. It is easier for someone else to reach your family and your friends than it is you. Even Jesus wasn't accepted in his own town of Nazareth. And the Lord made a comment. He said, you know, a prophet is accepted everywhere except his own home. There's too much familiarity. So if you have an opportunity to bring somebody with you, or you have an opportunity to invite them to an event, do it. This is the heart of Cornelius, and this should be our heart as well, because now they're going to hear one of the greatest pastors of all time. You know, Pastor Pete here is going to give the message, and we're going to see a great move of God's Spirit and salvation. He invites everybody together, and notice verse 25, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now, again, no doubt they were thrilled that Peter, the famous apostle, had come. But guys, God never intended that any man be worshiped. God never intended that any man be bowed down to. The Bible says God alone is to be worshiped and God alone is to be bowed down to. Even the angels. When you see in Scripture where men get freaked out because of an angel, like you can imagine what that would be like. They fall down before the angel and the angels say, get up. What are you doing? I mean, I know compared to you, I'm an awesome and great being, but you don't bow to me. You bow to God. Get up. And notice Peter does the same thing. He immediately is shocked by this. He won't allow it. Peter lifted him up saying, stand up. I myself was a man. Notice he lifted him up. I don't know if he grabbed him by the scruff or just got him by the arm or what he did. But he said, you don't bow to me. Now, this is amazing because isn't it the nature of man to still bow down not only to people today, but even to statues? Interestingly enough, there is a statue of Peter in Rome today that many who believe will go and bow down to this statue of Peter who believe this way, and they'll actually kiss the big toe of this statue. I've been told that the big toe has been kissed so much, it's actually gone now. Can you imagine kissing a stone image so much that it's gone? That's a lot of kissing. I'd want to wash my lips after I was done with that one probably, but a lot of people have kissed that toe. Guys, the bottom line is no, get up. Get up. I was thinking about Peter in heaven, and that almost would be embarrassing. To be in heaven, if you were a believer in heaven and watch people bow down to you on earth, I mean, I'm sure that it's not Peter's fault, but still going on. He says, get up. As he talked with them, he went in and found many who had come together. So he sees the crowd. They've all gathered. They're there to hear the gospel. And Peter is realizing, you know, he should be realizing at this point why he's there. But notice, he still doesn't get it. Look at verse 28. And then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company or to go into another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. You know, even Gentiles, in other words. And the Gentiles knew the religious tradition of the Jews. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? Now, I think, what a question is that? Peter comes all the way from there. Why have you called for me? Now, I guess I have to understand, maybe he could be thinking they weren't wanting to hear the gospel. Maybe they just had some questions about the Jewish tradition or religion or what God was doing. But I would think that Peter would get it by now and say, obviously, I'm here to share the gospel. But he still doesn't. And notice, so verse 30, Cornelius said, look, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea, and when he comes, he will speak to you. So it's kind of like, we don't know why you're here either. Look at verse 33. So I sent to you immediately, and you've done well to come. Now, therefore, we're all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. So go. Isn't that great? Now, you want to see a successful gathering together of believers. This is the picture of it. Peter was prepared. He just didn't know it. God revealed what he wanted Peter to share. But Peter had to be first prepared, i.e. the pastor be ready. But the people have to come saying, I'm expecting to hear from God. See, here's the question. When you came this morning, did you just come to church because it's Sunday? And you kind of have to do it, you know, before the ball game. That's just kind of tradition. And before you go to eat, and before you do whatever, this is Sunday, so we have to go to church, right? And you know, you all that. Or did you come saying, I wonder what God's going to say to me today? I'm ready to hear, God. I'm all ears. What do you want to say to me? I need to hear from you, Lord. Go. Okay, Mark, there you are. Here I am. Go. And then I've got to be ready to say, okay, God, what have you put in my heart? This is what the Lord has for us today. Be free. Be free of your religious tradition. And if you're bound up, then you're set free because you're hearing the voice of the Lord. These guys were ready. Both were prepared. Although Peter, I actually kind of know what Peter felt like, because there's times I've had people look at me that way and I think, Lord, I'm not prepared, you know. And so Peter, again, here, it feels like he's not. But they say, Peter, tell us. And then the Holy Spirit, yes, Peter, share the gospel. I've come for the Gentiles. And so finally it kicks in. And look at verse 34. Then Peter, he opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. What a statement. Have that underlined. God doesn't care where you're from, what color you are, what you did believe or didn't believe, anything about you. He only cares about you. He shows no partiality. There's no favoritism. And so God shows no partiality. Notice this, but in every nation, whoever, notice that, every nation and whoever are huge here. You know, Christianity is not America's religion. Christianity is God. Christianity is what God, he sent his son to die for the world, that all that would believe in him would be saved. If you don't know the Lord, this is how you get in. You believe in his son. You repent of your sin. And the Bible says you'll be accepted into heaven. And note this, yeah, but God would never accept me. If you're an underliner or one who circles, circle the word whoever. Circle it. If you don't like to write in your Bible, circle whoever in the person's Bible next to you. But that way, it'll be drilled into your heart. In every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. I love it. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. They knew of John the Baptist. They'd heard of this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. I guess that Peter believed in a literal devil. For God was with Jesus. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up the third day. And he showed him openly. Now imagine Peter's passion, because Peter saw this, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach the gospel and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to judge the living and the dead. Guys, one of the most powerful things you can do is share your testimony. Peter, he could say something we can't say. I saw him in person, and I saw him resurrected in person. But guys, here's what you can say. Here's who I was, and here's what I am now. This is what God has done in my life. It's your testimony. The Bible says in Revelation 12, 11, and the saints overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and the fact they didn't love their life unto death. One of the three things that gives us victory over the enemy is the fact that we basically share our testimony. And I have people say to me, Mark, how can I share with other people? I'm afraid. Share your testimony. Pray for God to open a door. You're not challenging them. You're not confronting them. They're just standing there. So, you know, what do you do? Well, it's easier for me because I've kind of an inroad, you know. I'm a pastor. Oh, really? Yeah, you're a pastor. Yeah, and that just opens the door. You can't believe what God's done in my life. Let me tell you what I was like. And I began to share it and say, and then this happened, then that happened, then that happened. Now God's brought me here. God has so transformed my life. He has made himself so real to me and has just changed me and done all these things for me. And I may never once confront them, but they just heard what God did for me. And they realized, wait a minute, if God did that for him, two things have to be true. Number one, God's got to be real. And number two, if God did it for that guy, God can do it for me. You see how you can share? By just giving your testimony. There's power in that. It says, to him all the prophets witnessed that through his name. Here it is again. Whoever, not a limited few, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins, that is forgiveness of sins. And so he gives the gospel message and they receive it. They ask the Lord to come into their heart. How do we know that? Look at verse 44. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Now remember the three different words and the three different workings we've been talking about of the Holy Spirit as we're going through the book of Acts. The Bible says that God works in the believer's life in three different ways by the Holy Spirit: in, with, and upon. In, the Bible says, happens the moment you receive Christ. He indwells you. With, the word para means alongside, that is God working with us. This is a different word. This is the word epi, E-P-I in the Greek, and it means something from the outside coming upon you. And every time you see the Spirit come upon someone, it is for power. It is that they might be a witness. It is that they might walk with God. And so now we see the Spirit in power coming upon those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. The other Jews with him were like, "Your Gentiles are getting saved?" And as many as came with Peter, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on, not that he wasn't in them as well, but again, God making a point, this was another work of the Spirit. The Spirit had been poured out on them, on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And again, this is only one of the gifts and doesn't always take place. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water? Look, we've seen the Spirit poured out on these guys. We need to get them baptized. They're true believers." And again, what a shock for Peter. What a shock for the other six guys with him that went on this journey. "Can we forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they asked him to stay a few days. So Peter stays and ministers to them. No doubt others coming to the Lord, others being baptized, getting the church established there in Caesarea. And what an exciting passage of Scripture. But guys, note this. None of this would have happened if God had not set Peter free from what? Religious tradition. And right now, some of you guys have been held up in your life, not being used by the Lord in other people's lives because of religious tradition. And God wants to set you free. It's time for you to be free of the religious tradition. It's time for the church to be free of it. We don't have time for that in this day and age. And so my challenge to you is this: are you free of religious tradition? Are you bound up by religious tradition? If you are, what I want to do is, guys, I want to pray that God will set you free. Some of you may be in that place where you're ready. You know, you're ready to be set free because God's been working in your heart for years. Some of you going, "You know what? I just now I'm hearing about this and I don't know what I think about it. I'm still not sure that guy's right. I don't know what to think." That's fine. That's fine. You don't have to believe that I'm right. You're not going to be held accountable for me. You're going to be held accountable to the Word of God and to what God tells you in His Spirit is true. My encouragement is search the Scriptures. Run to the Lord. If there's an area of bondage, say, "God, set me free. I want to be free in you," and let God set you free. I want to pray for you guys this morning that want to be free from religious tradition. And I want to pray for the church that we as a whole would be free so that God can do what He wants in Calvary Chapel and in our lives individually, okay? Let's pray. Father, we want to be free from anything that would bind us up in serving and loving you. But some of us have biases we don't even recognize, Lord. Maybe it hasn't even been revealed to us yet. Peter didn't even know right off the bat what you were doing. And Lord, maybe this morning, and no doubt this morning, you're doing a work by your Holy Spirit in many lives in here in many different ways. But some of those ways may be setting people free of religious tradition that has bound them for many years. Maybe they look at a certain group of Christians a certain way because of what they wear or what they listen to or what they do or the fact that they worship there or whatever it might be. And God, none of that is in Scripture. It is totally opinion. It is totally culture. It is totally upbringing, but we're bound by it, Lord. We're creatures of habit. Lord, even Peter, the great apostle, had to be set free by a vision. Lord, I doubt any of us will get a vision today, but I do pray your Spirit would impress on our heart if there's anything that's holding us back from being free to serve you in any way at all. And I pray, God, that you would reveal that to us right now. And if that's you, begin to lay it at the feet of the Lord and say, "God, help me. Help me to be free, Lord. I want to be all that you want me to be. I want to be used. Whatever your Gentile is, whatever your unclean animal is that's being lowered down on the surgical pad, let the Lord work on it this morning." And Father, I pray for our church, for this gathering right here, God, that you would show us, God, just because we teach against it doesn't mean we can't fall victim to it. If there's something that we at Calvary Chapel have that is just because Calvary Chapel does it, Lord, if it's not hurting anything, I guess that's fine. But if there's anything we're doing that's alienating anyone in this city or anyone in our family or anyone in this place or that we might come in contact with, show us, Lord. We will repent. We will turn away from it, Lord. Our desire is to simply be all you want us to be leading the lost to your word that they might find the kingdom, and to be feeding your flock that they might grow, Lord, and be strong. So God, do a work here in this fellowship. Do a work in us individually and set us free from religion and religious tradition. God, especially growing up in the South, we have a lot of it. But Lord, if you set Peter free with his Jewish tradition, which is much stronger than our Southern tradition, you can set us free. Oh Lord, by the power of your Spirit, do your work this morning. And let none of us in this room say, not so, Lord. Let us say, yes, Lord. Have your way, and I submit to you and your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.